This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
ACC sent three teams to the Sweet 16 yesterday, sent one the day before on the women's side. Last night, the ACC went there by margins of victory now, 32, 44, and 18. Those were the margins of victory for three teams to get to the Sweet 16 in the women's tournament.
We've had 52 women's games played so far. Same thing with the men, but 52 games have been played on the women's side. 36 of the 52 have been double-digit margins.
Wow.
36 of the 52.
Wow, how about that? More to come on Sweet 16, both men and women. But first, let's get to Raleigh. Actually, Durham is where we find Luke Dukak of the News Observer. Yep, it's right there on the sign behind your left shoulder. Durham, proper spelling. This is Packer and Durham as well in the morning. So good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired, but good. Yeah, Durham. Say it like you're from there.
That's it. All right, so just bring folks up to speed here on the itinerary. What kind of itinerary are we looking at being one of the most trusted journalistic voices in the ACC footprint?
I don't know about all that, but Thursday, if Duke loses, then I got to go to Philly on Friday. If Carolina were to lose there, then I got to go to Bridgeport on Saturday for the NC State women. Potentially stay in Bridgeport through Monday, and then off to New Orleans or Minneapolis. So Duke wins, I'm staying with Kay. So the simplest thing for me in all of this is for Duke to win two games and not me to spend a weekend in San Francisco and not cry very loudly about it.
Just curious, what airline are you flying?
I am on the nonstop from Raleigh to San Francisco on United. So anyone else who's on that flight is welcome to say hello. So it's the next best thing to having your own plane.
I was going to say, because if you said American, got no chance. Got no chance. United will get you there on time. American, kind of a dice roll. Kind of
man,
dice
you guys roll. Are really scraping for corporate partners, huh?
I'm not.
He doesn't fly American. No, he won't fly American. So it's
I never scrape for corporate partners. I don't have a problem selling.
Yeah,
that's never been an issue for me.
Not for you. No,
not for me. Not for others, that could be, but not for me.
Hey, let's qualify the rebound here in the tournament of the good old ACC, shall we? I mean, three teams in the Sweet 16. I mean, 65, 75 days ago, Luke, I wasn't sure this league was going to get any basketball run at all this year from national pundits, let alone, let's be honest, we all knew it was not a great non-conference season, and we weren't sure what we were getting in the month of January from this league, and now all of a sudden they've bloomed into a lovely flower of basketball here in the Sweet 16.
Well, I think the scariest part is maybe Josh Pastner was right all along, that the ACC had been undervalued and underconsidered. So that's, if he's right about that, what else could he possibly be right about? I think we all need to worry about that. But, he was right. And Jim Larrañaga was right. When you have this many transfers, when you have this many freshmen, it takes a while for these teams to come together. And other conferences, less powerful conferences, had a lot of veteran guys. Now, Miami's weird because they're like the oldest team in the tournament. And the three teams in the Sweet 16 are all very different. You have Duke with its freshmen, Carolina with its new coach, but basically the same team as last year with the addition of Brady Manek. And then Miami with Charlie Moore, who's played, more games than anybody in college basketball, I think, on his fourth conference. That's a much older team with transfers, with guys who have been in that program. So I think what we've seen is all three of those teams evolve over the course of the season. Wake Forest evolve over the course of the season. Virginia Tech obviously evolve over the course of the season. And so the non-conference results, which were dismal, maybe didn't reflect the strength of the ACC on Selection Sunday. And it's scary to think, sitting here now, that if Duke beats Virginia Tech, the ACC only gets four teams in.
I'm going to go to Duke a second. I thought their early season win against Gonzaga was one of the best basketball games I saw all season long. And it happened so long ago, it feels like it wasn't even this season. But it was a great game between two teams that just got after it. And we may get that game again coming up this weekend. But I thought until that game and versus the last 5 minutes of Duke-Michigan State, maybe the best vintage of Duke this season. I know they had some blowout wins at Syracuse where they just obliterated everybody in their wake. But Sunday, Luke, was a sense of, hey, the end is near. What are you going to do about it? And Duke, I thought, was great. Not good, but great in that last 5 minutes against Sparty.
I think what you saw there was actually Duke getting back to the future. That was the Duke team we saw against Gonzaga. It was the Duke team we saw against Kentucky, where Banchero was finding matchups he could exploit, and Mark Williams was dominant inside, and the guards were good. You know, one of the biggest factors for Duke over the last month has been sort of Jeremy Roach's emergence as the point guard they thought he would be when they recruited him. And some guys take a little longer to develop, and in this case, certainly he has, but he's there now. That was a huge turning point for Duke against Michigan State, because that's the scenario where we've seen them lose games they shouldn't lose this season. So they have a 9-point lead in the second half. They give it away. They're down 5 with 5 minutes to go. The mood on the bench is not great. And Duke found a way to rally, to regroup, and really not just make plays on offense, which Duke did. Jeremy Roach with the big three, Trevor Keels, Jeremy Roach getting to the rim, and obviously Paolo Banchero backing down Joey Hauser. But they got stops at the other end. And if you look at Michigan State's last couple possessions, they could not get into the sets they wanted to get into to get the three that they really needed. And there's a lot of credit to Duke's defense on the perimeter, which is not a phrase that we said a lot this year. So there was certainly a basketball change there in terms of making the plays that Duke hasn't made in the final minutes of games. But there was a mental change there too. That swagger that Duke had against Kentucky, had against Gonzaga, on this very big stage is back. And that's really when you look at the UNC game, you look at the really poor overall ACC tournament performance, even though they made the final. That wasn't there, and Krzyzewski has called it the lull. I think we can say safely now that regardless of what happens against Texas Tech, in that Michigan State game, in those final seconds, Duke got out of that lull.
Luke, I'm going to go big picture here on a couple things. First of all, we've now had this uptick, if you will, of the league in the last week or so, right? Following the ACC tournament in Brooklyn, we came out of there. We knew there were five going after Virginia Tech beat Duke. You know, and the leagues look pretty good through the first weekend of the tournament, now going to the Sweet 16. It also speaks to the transition of this conference. Kay retires at the end of the year. Roy's gone. Mike Young has emerged. I love the Kenny Payne hire at Louisville. Jim Larrañaga has given us something to grab to next year. We know Leonard Hamilton in Florida State will bounce
back. Tony Bennett's still playing, by the way.
Tony Bennett, Steve Forbes. I'm going to mark those guys too.
Birthday boy.
Do we feel a little better about the ACC because of this uptick, even though it's only one weekend and nothing's guaranteed after Thursday night, than we did a month ago?
I mean, I think we should, because, as I said earlier, it validates some of the ongoing theories about, you know, why the ACC wasn't as respected as it's traditionally been. And the idea that in the 2022 basketball era, you know, where you have to depend largely on freshmen and transfers in some cases, that it does take time. And maybe we're going to need to look at find a way to measure performance as it changes, as team strength changes over the course of the season. Because the way it works analytically is you kind of set the bar in non-conference, and then the conference games all just kind of validate whatever those perceptions were. But you look at how Miami got better over the course of the season. You look at Wake Forest and the job that Forbes did there, sort of building a team from scratch. You look at Carolina's improvement, not just over the course of the season, but in the past month, the way that team has really found an identity. And that's what got it past Baylor, as everything was falling apart around it, was that it had developed a confidence and identity it did not have in January, even with the wins over Michigan and Virginia. Should we feel better? We should feel better about the state of the ACC because Steve Forbes is a really good coach. Kenny Payne understands Louisville. You know, the guys like that who are coming into the league, Mike Young's done a great job, as you mentioned. Yeah. They're good coaches, and the ACC has always been a coach's league, and I think we're kind of seeing that cycle come around again.
We just got done with Brooklyn, right? Virginia Tech, an amazing story. Well, where do you think we're going to go big picture as far as the ACC is concerned? Headquarters, future sites of the tournament, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, in terms of the headquarters, and to the extent that it really matters where the league's headquarters is, you know, I think obviously most people at this point are expecting it to end up in Charlotte because it seems to make the most sense in terms of the city and the airport and all the criteria that they've set out there. I do think there's value in staying in Greensboro for a lot of reasons. It's the same reason that the tournament is good in Greensboro, that everyone knows you're there and believes in you and is supportive. I think that matters, and I worry about the ACC potentially getting lost in a city like Charlotte that has two pro teams that are a very big deal, especially if the Hornets continue their ascendancy. Does the ACC potentially get lost there with the move? I don't know. There's certainly pluses and minuses to it. But if the ACC doesn't stay in Greensboro, and again, I think there's some validity to the idea that that's the best thing to do. Obviously, Charlotte is the natural landing spot. As far as the tournament goes, you know, the Brooklyn deal was with the A-10 was for three tournaments. We're going to have a tournament site for 2025 at some point because it's such a big event. Hotels fill up. We've got Greensboro next year, D.C. in 20.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And just like that.
Somebody pulled the plug.
You know what happened?
What?
He said the Hornets were ascending. And somebody said.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. Wait, wait.
Here he is. All right. We got you back. Now, you stopped, right, and Packer swears that when you said the Hornets started to ascend it, and that's when somebody pulled the plug.
That's awesome.
All right, you were getting ready to say 23 is Greensboro, 24 or 23 D.C., 24 Greensboro, and then the Hornets pulled the plug, so go ahead.
I think it's the other way around, though, isn't it? Isn't 23 Greensboro, 24 D.C.?
That's it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I just want to make sure I wasn't – yeah. No, I mean, I think the question after that is what is the ACC now? What does it want to become? You know, I think D.C. has proven it's a terrific, maybe the best site for the tournament based on the last time we were there in 2016. Yeah. Charlotte's great because it's got the downtown arena, a lot of hotels, and a lot to do. And Greensboro, the atmosphere in the building, is still the best of all of them. So it really becomes a question of –
Oh, we lost Luke. That was it.
Again. Charlotte, or, you know, you mentioned Hornets.
Somebody got us. He does bring up an interesting point about Charlotte and D.C. I was not in D.C. at 16. However, I was there in 05, and you could kind of see the area around that arena developing. It's a terrific arena and a great landscape for the tournament, much like Charlotte is. And you and I were just there in 19. It was a terrific place to do the event from.
I don't think you can go wrong with right. D.C., Charlotte, Greensboro. Again,
and those three, and here's
we
the
were
thing.
In Brooklyn for what? That was the first time I'd ever been in a building in Brooklyn. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think like everything else, when you go to New York City, it gets lost.
Okay.
I think the Big East does a great job at Madison Square Garden.
There's the hook.
Right.
Okay. Let me put it to you like this. The Big East is played at Madison Square Garden for 40 years.
Yeah, it's
it's their event in their city.
It's their Greensboro.
Exactly. And is Greensboro, would anybody ever come to, now people make jokes about this. No, nobody's ever going to come to Greensboro and think that they can stage their event. New York City is the event for the Big East. The Big Ten went there. It didn't become their event. The ACC's gone to Brooklyn. It's a much different feel. I understand the bigger picture. I agree with what David Teal said. Sometimes it's not about the fans. It's about the other people that you're trying to connect with as a league. I understand that. But I think you've got three silos you can conduct this event in. Washington, Greensboro, Charlotte on a consistent basis for the ACC. If you want to branch off for a year and go to Atlanta, you want to branch off a year and go to Pittsburgh, you want to go to Brooklyn, fine. 1 year, that's fine. Nobody's asking you to get married and stay there for a decade. But I think you've got three really productive venues and communities that will support the event.
Totally agree, 100%. But we have no say-so in terms of how this plays out. We're just speculating everybody else.
And for those of you that are asking, how can you say Pittsburgh? Why Pittsburgh? Because we went to Tampa. And when we went to Tampa, everything changed.
And you know, and we got Boston. I mean, there's a number of different places you can
absolutely
stick
right.
this bad boy, right? Yep. One way or the other. But I think the three that you mentioned, the Charlotte, the Greensboro, and D.C., if that became the rotation, I don't think people would be upset with that.
No, sir. Not at all. Don't forget, Monday morning, we will continue our coverage of Pro Days. Yesterday, E.J. Manuel and I got a chance to showcase Kenny Pickett, and some other of the Pitt Panthers who are trying to take that next step. Monday, off to Chapel Hill for Pro Day. Follows our show, 10 o'clock. Sam Howell, who is now working his way through the kind of the back end of the first round on many of these mock drafts that are out, he will be the headliner for the Tar Heels. Jeremiah Gimmel, Ty Chandler, also expected to go through drills. There'll be interviews, features, analysis, and more right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Sit tight when we come back. More thoughts on the Sweet 16 on both the men's and women's side. Packer and Durham's Tuesday continues on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the show.
You know what's been fun last couple weeks?
Winning?
Well, yeah. But you basically are a Charlotte native now. I mean, you've lived here how long? 30 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brian Ives, who is kind of joined our little band here, he's a Charlotte native, real Charlotte, like born, bred Charlotte the whole night.
It's not many of those, believe it or not.
Right. So he is he's been able to kind of educate you on the prowess of the Charlotte basketball Hornets.
Oh, we're rolling. I mean, I just heard Luke DeCock said ascending. The Hornets are ascending. Steady improvement.
Steady. That's it. First thing I thought of was steady improvement. Yeah, steady improvement.
I mean, I've been here long enough to know I haven't seen any parades. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, that's all.
All I'm going to tell you. I have not seen any parades.
None. None for the Panthers.
Football, basketball.
Charlotte FC's here now.
So we got soccer.
Yeah. You need to go to one of those.
You know, hashtag not going to be able to make that.
Yeah, I know. I knew where that was going.
Old radio term. Hashtag not going to be able to make that one, Wes.
Yeah. All right, let's steer ourselves
back. Can't get a ticket.
Let's
steer
it out. It was
73,000 people.
I know.
I'm
telling you.
I just can't get in.
Let's steer ourselves back to the Sweet 16, shall we?
Please.
Because the ACC has three on the men's side and four on the women's side. Cassius Stanley, the former Blue Devil, already tweeting, ACC, the best conference in basketball. Let's talk about it. And you're right. Because as I said in hour one, the decline of the Atlantic Coast Conference apparently was falsely reported. Because look who has shown up in the Sweet 16. Just like always, some would say. Because it's, 42 straight years?
42 consecutive tournaments. The ACC's had at least one team in the Sweet 16.
And only the Big 12 has as many as three as we begin play on Thursday night. And the ACC has 19. More Sweet 16 appearances than that of the Big Ten. It averages out to about 2.5 ACC teams in the Sweet 16 per year. My goodness. What in the world, Mark?
That's called quality basketball is what that's called.
Yeah.
That's called teams have big-time tradition and history, and we got that in this league.
We gave you a bunch of numbers. Here's a handful of them. 42 straight seasons, we told you, with at least one Sweet 16 team, 19 years longer than any other streak, and the Big 12 is next. 23 is also an active streak, obviously, for that league.
And a great league in basketball.
Kansas, Iowa State are there this year.
I mean, they have terrific basketball in the Big 12.
Last time the ACC did not put a team in the Sweet 16 was 1979. Better known around the ACC footprint as Black Sunday, especially in the state of North Carolina, because Duke and Carolina lost in consecutive games in the same building in Raleigh, of all places, at Reynolds Coliseum in the NCAA tournament. 90 cents was a gallon of gas.
Sign up for that right now,
yeah,
wouldn't we?
Yeah. Boy, how times have changed. The ACC has lost 51 Sweet 16 games. 51. No other conference has won more than 51 Sweet 16 games. They're 65-51 all time in the event.
Well, you got to be in it to win it is basically what that is.
That's
And the league has done a great job at winning, like I said.
Yeah. 96%. That's an ACC team has played in 96% of all the Sweet 16s. 45 out of 47. The only years we told you that it didn't work out are 79, of course, and 1976. When Virginia and North Carolina were also bumped out in first-round action. Some of these numbers are staggering. 50%, that's the number of ACC teams to make the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16 era since 1975. That's the highest percentage of any conference. That's crazy. some of this stuff is staggering when you put it on paper, I guess.
Well, that's why I always say that the standard when it comes to men's college basketball is the Atlantic Coast Conference. It doesn't mean it's the best league every year. It's seldom is that the case in terms of one league always being the best in anything. But if you want to find out really how good you are, you normally compare it to, hey, what's the ACC doing?
Right.
And we would be the first to tell you, the regular season, the league was down compared to the standard by which this league has set itself at.
Yeah.
But when you get to tournament basketball, this conference normally delivers.
Yeah. 31, Hubert Davis becomes the 31st ACC coach, different coach, to take his team to a Sweet 16, doing so with the win against Baylor on Saturday. And three times, and here's the other notable coaches, by the way, to make at least one Sweet 16 appearance. Al Skinner, Herb Sendek, the late Skip Prosser, Rick Pitino, Cliff Ellis, and Rick Barnes all got their respective institutions to at least one Sweet 16. And then there are three times in the Sweet 16 era we've had ACC against ACC. Twice Duke has been a winner in that moment. Blue Devils beat Virginia Tech in 2019, Syracuse in 2018. And in 2015, Louisville beat NC State.
And, of course, on the women's side, we will have a little ACC action with Notre Dame and NC State hooking up in Bridgeport.
Yep, that's exactly right. So those are some of the numbers, Sweet 16 by the numbers, if you will, on this Tuesday. So the three best teams in the Southeastern Conference, by the way, we heard a lot about the SEC. John Calipari had this tweet. That probably didn't age very well. He said the league went 50-0 at home this year, but it went 2-3 in the NCAA tournament against no higher than a 10 seed.
Well, I hate it for the SEC's sake because, I mean, again, I think they have a terrific league, right? And I think they've done a great job in terms of their hiring.
Yep.
However, this is the time of the year in which you find out what is success. Mm-hmm. And they got six teams in. Five have been eliminated, all five by double-digit seeds. Yep. It has been a lousy run for what I think is a really good league.
Yeah, and Arkansas, the only one left standing. When we come back, the leader of the Hurricanes from the point guard position, who's also probably doubling as the cruise director this week, right? Charlie Moore is getting a homecoming game in the Sweet 16 in Chicago for Miami. And he's next with us on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Tell you what, the more chairman of the board we can get on this show, the better we're all going to be.
Yeah.
Francis Albert, absolutely. Give me Sinatra and then some. Let's go.
Give me Gibson Steakhouse and let's go.
Woody Herman and the Thundering Herd. I'm all for it. Let's go. The fourth time in NCAA tournament history.
This game coming up.
10-11. Yep. A 10-11 getting together for the fourth time in NCAA tournament history in Chicago with Miami, the 10 seed, and Iowa State, the 11 seed. And how about this? The ACC's been involved with Florida State and Syracuse. In the two of the previous three. How about that?
I remember that Florida State VCU thing now. That was part of an amazing run, right?
Yeah, Shaka Smart and the Rams. Absolutely.
Off to the races.
Out of the first
go.
Four, right? Yep. All the way to the final four.
Yep.
Let's go to Miami, where the point guard of the Hurricanes is with us. Charlie Moore returns to this program. Good to see you. Congratulations. You guys tell you what, I don't know how most Sundays work for you, but last Sunday was pretty doggone good now, Charlie.
Yeah, it went pretty good for us, man. You know, we played a hard-fought game versus Auburn, you know, who was a great team. You know, they have great players on their team. You know, I think we just, you know, as a team, we played extremely hard. We were extremely locked in and focused on, you know, our goal, which was to win.
Charlie, let's be honest, man. That backcourt, you boys, you took that backcourt and put them in your back pocket, man. It was a clinic. For folks that love guard-oriented basketball, that was a clinic on Sunday night. I mean, Auburn's a really talented team, a two-seed, a team that was number one in the country for a long period of time this season. They've got NBA players all over the joint. But, man, you guys were just tremendous with and without the basketball. I thought that the way you shared the basketball, like I said, it was a joy to watch the game played the right way. That's exactly what you did, not only in that game, but also the SC game, which was another tough test.
Yeah, definitely. You know, first game we won versus SC, you know, it was another hard-fought game where we won by two, and it came down to, you know, the last shot from Drew Peterson from almost half court that almost went in. So, you know, it was a nail biter. You know, I feel like we played pretty well that game. You know, we let up sometimes during that game, which, you know, had forced them to come back. But other than that, I feel like we played great. We played hard. You know, that's all we can ask for. You know, then we went on, you know, to play Auburn. Tough team. You know, like you said, NBA players that's on that team, you know, and like you said, we just clicked as a team. You know, everybody was focused. Everybody was ready to play. You know, so you know, we ended up coming out with a win over those guys.
Charlie, is there something to be said though about the experience of your experience, Cam, Isaiah, Coach L? I mean, just the comfort level and the confidence level you guys have in this event.
Definitely. You know, just the things that we've been through, you know, as players, you know, on and off the court as well. You know, I feel like it prepared us for these type of moments, you know. The second round game, you know, we were just ready, you know. Didn't want anything to faze us. Just wanted to go out and, you know, play Miami basketball, you know, and we clicked as a team. You know, coaching staff did great as well, man. So, you know, I feel like our experience helps us a tremendous amount.
Charlie, I know that you're only worried about Iowa State, but I do want to go backwards a second. I want to know the conversations that took place with you and Isaiah and the rest of the guys after the dunk on Smith. Because that's got the word poster written all it. That, and again, that wasn't dunking on Mark Packer trying to touch the net. That was a dunk on maybe the number one pick in the NBA draft coming up. And Isaiah took off, and it was like, oh, boy, here we go. And my goodness, that was flushed. That was unbelievable.
No, it was. It was unbelievable. You know, I really think I had the best view. You know, I was on by Auburn bench. You know, had a little angle on it. I seen him wind up. I think Jabari might have thought he was going to lay it up, you know. Zay cocked it back and dunked it, man. It was crazy. You know, we've been telling Zay about it all the time. I guess he's probably tired of hearing about it, but he know what he did, man. That was a crazy dunk, man. I was excited. Dude, I was over there jumping around. I was over there jumping. That was crazy.
Charlie, did you turn to the Auburn bench and go, fellas, I got news for you.
I just jumped twice. I was just excited.
You should have told him, hey, the second half ain't going to get much better either, boys. Y'all better just strap it on real tight and head on back to the planes because this is getting ready to get ugly.
Look at Charlie. Look at Charlie in front of the Auburn bench. Ooh.
Yeah, that was crazy. Hey, that was a crazy dunk.
Charlie, I know you've seen it. You know, Justin Mutz got a T-shirt from a company with the dunk on Banchero in the championship game, right? I know Wong's got to get a T-shirt. Made. Come on now. We gotta have the Breaking Tea Company get on the line here and get this shirt turned around, don't we?
Oh man, probably so. You know, you gotta ask Zay about that one, but all I know is that dunk was, you know, it was a crazy dunk, athletic dunk, strong dunk. You know, I was just happy for Zay after he did that.
All right. Now you've been some places, you've played some ball. Is that as good as you've seen in a game?
As far as what?
That dunk.
Oh, that's the best dunk I've seen, like, live in a very long time, to be honest. You know, just how powerful he went up, how strong he put the ball in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was over, like, a 6'10 guy, you know. So he had to go up strong and finish it. You know, it was a great dunk.
Now, people look at the play, but I'm going to ask you this. It's also a momentum builder for you guys. I mean, when a play like that happens, tell me the adrenaline just doesn't start pumping more for you guys at that point, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, plays like that get us going. You know, it get the crowd going. You know, it just instills energy into us as a team. You know, even though after that dunk, Auburn still made a run. You know, we had to, you know, fight, keep fighting. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, that dunk definitely, you know, put energy into everybody. Everybody was excited for him. Look at Jordan. Everybody was excited. Yeah. It was crazy.
Charlie, that leads us to this week. It's got to be incredibly rewarding. Number one, the fact that you guys are still alive and kicking as a 10 seed, but man, you're going home. We're going to Chicago to play in the NCAA tournament. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it's an exciting moment for me. You know, this is a once in a lifetime thing, you know, and to be able to make it this far, you know, like the final 16 teams in the country, you know, it's a great experience. But it's even more exciting to go home, you know, play in front of family and friends. You know, I'm just excited for the moment, man. I'm just trying to take one moment at a time.
Well, you've had quite the journey. We've talked about that the first time you were with us, and everybody kind of understands that. It's almost storybook that you get a chance to take Miami to Chicago to play. I mean, when did that strike you on the flight home? I got to believe that flying back the other night, you're thinking, holy cow, I'm actually going to get to go play in my hometown in a building that I love to play in a game that's got some high stakes to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, after I was thinking, like, man, I'm really going home, man. Like, we really just won a second-round game in the tournament. We're going to the Sweet 16, you know. I mean, it still haven't really, like, hit me yet. Like, I think it's going to hit me, like, years ahead. But, I mean, I know how exciting this moment is. You know, I'm just trying to take one moment at a time for me and my teammates, man. So, I'm just excited for us, to be honest.
Yeah, I get it. Now, the next moment is, it's great you get a homecoming game. But the real issue is going to be the ticket list. You know that. Come on now. We got to take care of our business, don't we?
Yeah, we definitely do. You know, just got to take care. You know, I'm going to take care of my family, make sure they're good. So, you know, everything after that, you know, I'm not trying to worry too much about the ticket thing, to be honest.
What do you know about Iowa State?
I know they're a hard-fought team. You know, they're going to play hard every possession. You know, they're never giving up. You know, they got shooters as well. You know, great guard play. You know, they played in Big 12, which is a great conference, you know, and they made it to the tournament. So, you know, they're a great team. We can't take anybody for granted. And we just got to take it one game at a time.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be one of those games that kind of fits really both teams. Style of play, Isaiah Brockington's a terrific player for the Cyclones. And you know from your days at Kansas – that crowd scraps with you, right? I mean, it's good thing you're not playing at Hilton Coliseum, right, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, they got one of the best fan bases in college basketball, to be honest. You know, so I'm just looking forward to the game, man. Me and my team is just going to go in and, you know, give 110% effort, you know, like we've been doing all season. And I'm just looking forward to see what's the outcome. You know, I'm just excited for us.
You know, I know that you only can concern yourself with Iowa State, and whatever happens with Kansas and Providence, so be it. But your goal is to win, and let's get to the next game. But you got to peek a little bit and go, I mean, for you in Chicago playing Kansas is almost surreal, isn't it? I mean, if that turns out to be the scenario.
I mean, I don't like to look, you know, too far ahead, man. Right. Like I've been saying, you know, I'm just trying to live in the moment, you know, and take one game at a time, man. But you know, if that game was to come, you know, I'd be excited for me and my teammates, you know, and we just going to try to go out there and win, you know, no matter who it is.
Hey, by the way, if you had free time, and I know you don't, but if you had free time for you and your teammates and you said, listen, I'm going to take you on the town in Chicago, where would you take them to eat? Your call.
Probably, you know, it's a place called Soleil in Chicago. You know, they got great soul food. So I like to go there a lot, you know, so probably Soleil.
All right. There we go. Hey, Charlie, great to see you. Keep it going, man.
Fun watching you play, my
man. Yeah, you guys are rolling.
Appreciate that, man.
All right.
I appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate the time. I know you got a busy schedule this week to get ready for the Sweet 16 in Chicago.
How about the shots he's made this year? For ACC fans, they're like, who's this Charlie Moore guy? How just think of the shots he has made as a Miami Hurricane in this league this particular year. And then you watch those guys play Sunday night. I mean, like I said, if you are a purist of the game of basketball, what they did Sunday was a throwback to the way the game was supposed to be
played.
Guard dominated, spread you, move without the ball, hit the open man, play good defense, and take a favored team and wear them out. Yep. I mean, it was a clinic.
Thanks to Alex Schwartz, by the way, who's the basketball SID at Miami, for helping us out getting – this is an impossible week for sports information people.
Sure, it's tough.
You fly home Sunday night, and you're leaving because of the way their setup is. They'll probably be leaving later today, I guess, maybe tomorrow at the latest, to get to Chicago. But thanks to Alex for helping us out.
And the players and the coaches, their time is just – they just don't have time for a whole lot of anything, much less getting prepared, getting ready to go, and all that stuff. So anytime we get a coach, a player – this particular week, we really appreciate it.
And every once in a while, we catch a school that might have a late spring break in their academic calendar. That makes it a little easier, but still, it's a breakneck.
I have noticed real quickly, because I know we're going to go to break. I've noticed, and I know it's bound to change, but as of March 22nd at 9:47 a.m., I have noticed that BPI has all three ACC men's teams as underdogs this week.
That's good.
Duke, Miami, North Carolina. You don't have a shot. BPI's got you.
There you go.
L.
How about that?
Mark the tape.
All right. When we come back.
I'll take that bet.
ACC basketball tonight, by the way. Virginia in the JPJ going against St. Bonaventure.
Winner goes to New York.
Winner to Gotham City to play at the Garden in the NIT. We got it for you coming up next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, guess what? Men's lacrosse Saturday, 1 o'clock.
Ooh, it's going.
Hey, Cargan and the Irish meets Tiffany and the Cavaliers.
That's a good one.
In Charlottesville, number 10 Notre Dame, number 3 Virginia. Saturday, 1 o'clock from Klockner on the ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Keep the vibe in Charlottesville going tonight.
Bonnies are in town.
Yep. The Fighting Woges have arrived in Charlottesville.
It's a team that beat Clemson earlier in the year, and then right literally down the street, I watched Virginia Tech beat them by 100.
Yeah.
Remember how good the Hokies were that night?
I do, actually. Whew. You're right. That ball game tonight is on ESPN at 7 o'clock, St. Bonaventure and Virginia. First meeting ever. Cavaliers making their 14th NIT appearance and their first semifinal appearance, trying to get to New York for the first time since 1992. Virginia's won the event twice. Do you remember the other year?
Do not.
1980 with the freshman Ralph Sampson.
Oh, that's right.
Terry Holland's Cavaliers went to New York back in the old days where they used to take everybody to New York, right, in the 32-team field. And they beat Kevin McHale and Minnesota to win the NIT title.
How about that?
Yeah. So
what's the BPI got for that game tonight? Do we know?
Is there a BPI tonight?
St. Bonnie's in favorite. St. Bonnie's favored by what? 75%.
I'm afraid. Brian Ives says Virginia is a favorite.
They should
tonight.
Be favored. They're at home.
So there you go. Jaden, 66.1 for the Cavaliers.
BPI is going to get one right this week.
Yeah, maybe so. Jaden Gardner, by the way, needs 15 points for 2,000 in his career. Started East Carolina, obviously, and has transferred to play his last final year at Virginia. Reese Beekman. Here's the thing to keep in mind about this. Reese Beekman is the only player. Danny Neckel, this guy is the best.
Dude's got some good stats, man. That's a great one.
Only player in the country with at least 175 assists, 50 steals, and 25 blocks. The last college player to do it, Ja Morant.
Whatever happened to him?
Jeez.
Has he been great? Has he been great?
Click on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
The last Power 5 conference player, Lonzo Ball. The last ACC player, Grant Hill.
That is a bar bet.
I mean, seriously, it's a bar bet, right?
Yeah, that's a great stat.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate the intel as always.
And, of course, Virginia fans are going, we've been trying to tell you that. And why is he not the defensive player of the year?
Well, look,
you know that's coming.
Yeah. Look, we had – remember when I told you there were like three or four individual awards that were really hard this year? I mean, really hard. Defensive Player of the Year was one of those awards. The good news is Beekman's
Who's this blue ribbon committee you guys are keep talking about? I have no idea who's on that committee.
See, you don't vote. Yes.
Oh, so you know who's on it.
Most of the committee, most of the blue ribbon that votes all ACC. Yes, I voted.
You're part of the blue ribbon committee.
Yeah. Most of the people, Luke DeCock,
you're part of the BRC. You don't have the Disney pin, but you're part of the BRC.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to start this show. We're going to end the show like we started the show, which is going to be awesome.
Disney pin. I told you, my friend Jimmy will get that for you if you want it.
My friend Jimmy.
My friend Jimmy.
Yeah, we're getting ready. Pitara. We are Chairman, certainly.
You ever heard of
him? Yes, I met him in Durham.
Yeah, briefly, right?
Yeah, at the Duke Carolina game. Yeah. We're getting ready to find out just how good of friends you are with Jimmy.
We're tight. He just sent me a note over the weekend.
I'm well aware. You guys are in. Next thing you know, you'll be vacationing together somewhere.
I would hope so. If we take his jet, I'm in. Because I don't have one. Yet.
Unbelievable. The Luke DeCock wrote a story about the Blue Ribbon Committee, actually.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I don't get the News and Observer.
No. He wrote it because it was questioning as to how the ACC voting for this stuff has changed and how it's all spread out over different. There's everybody in the marketplace where each institution has the same number of votes, and then there's a cross-section of people that vote that add to it.
You're part of the BRC. That's cool. Good for you guys. You know, we would be remiss if we didn't say today, happy birthday, Steve Forbes.
Exactly. Steve, Coach, happy birthday, and good luck tomorrow night against the Aggies.
That's it. I got a stat for you tomorrow. For Wake, for A&M, you're going to love. Already got it.
Really?
Already got it.
How about that?
It's right here on this sheet. I'm using it for tomorrow.
Thanks to Seth Greenberg, host of Celebrity Golf.
45th appearance.
Kelly Gramlich.
18th appearance.
Thank you. Luke DeCock.
8th appearance.
And Charlie Moore.
2nd appearance.
Yeah. Drew Brooks, Brian Ives, Lisa Friday on a Tuesday directed this show.
She's spectacular.
Yep. And we'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., another edition of Packer and Durham. Have a great day.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.